cluster of bright stars come together, forming the logo of United Artists Pictures Incorporated. A series of animated drawings accompany the opening credits. Riders on horseback silhouetted against different coloured backgrounds canter over the screen. Gunfights unfold. Clint Eastwood. Fistful of Dollars. Marion Koch, Johnny Wells, W. Lukshi, S. Rupp, Joe Edger. Antonio Prieto, Jose Calvo, Margarita Lozano, Daniel Martin, Benny Reeves, Richard Stuyvesant, Carol Brown, Aldo Sambrelli. Photography Jack Dalmas, music by Dan Savio, musical edition RCA, art director, set director, costumes Charles Simmons, dialogue Mark Lowell. Unit manager Fred Ross, assistant producer Peter Saint, special effects John Speed, film editor Bob Quintal, makeup Sam Watkins, assistant director Frank Prestland, copyright 1964 Jolly Film SRL. Script girl Tilda Watson, sound Edie Simpson, technical advisor W.R. Tompkins, production managers Frank Pallance, Günter Ragus, produced by Harry Colombo and George Pappy, Technicolor Techniscope. Directed by Sergio Leone. The film is set in a small Mexican town, San Miguel, near the American border, in a dry, parched desert landscape. San Miguel resembles a typical Western town. Its wooden slatted buildings include a saloon and surround a town square. On the outskirts of the town is a smaller, Hispanic-looking village made up of simple stone dwellings. It is here the action starts. Hooves trot over the dry, stony ground. The rider, his back to us, wears a dark woolen poncho and Stetson. He steers his mule towards a small stone well, overlooking two whitewashed dwellings positioned opposite each other. A sun-baked track separates them. The stranger stops his mule by the well, dismounts, and tugs a pulley, drawing up a bucket and ladle. He scoops some water and drinks. A little boy scampers along the side wall of the tiny ramshackle dwelling. The stranger looks up. The boy peers round the corner, then dashes for the small house opposite. He scuttles along a wall and up to a barred window. The keen-eyed stranger watches through squinting eyes. The boy glances at the stranger, then hauls himself onto the window ledge, squeezing between the bars and clambering through a wooden shutter. The stranger drinks. The stranger watches as a door opens and the boy scrambles out, pursued by two men. One kicks the boy and fires at the ground around the boy's feet. A man runs from the ramshackle dwelling opposite and scoops up the distraught child. A beautiful raven-haired woman appears at the barred window. She watches as the men approach father and boy. One of the men grabs the father and knees him in the face.
You settle with me.
The man kicks the father as he lies on the ground. The man looks up and sees the stranger at the well. They trade stares, the man moving forward, eyes narrowed. The stranger breaks eye contact, coolly swigging from the ladle.
Let's go.
As the men make their way back into the small house, the stranger looks up again. He sees the woman waving through the iron bars of her window towards the boy and his father. She stares at the stranger through the bars like a beautiful caged bird. Her blue eyes narrow and the stranger smiles. Her lips part in a brief defiant smile, then with the slam of the shutter, she's gone. The stranger turns his rugged face away and lifts the ladle once more. He looks up. His attention is caught by a noose swinging from the branch of a distant tree. He steers his mule underneath the noose and towards a dusty street between a row of simple weathered stone dwellings. The stranger peers around a wall down the street and watches as women in black dresses and scarves scuttle into their houses. A rider and horse pick their way down the street. The stranger moves off towards the mysterious rider. The rider sits stiffly and wears a black flowing poncho, his face shadowed by the brim of a sombrero, a cartridge belt slung over his shoulder. The stranger pulls up his mule and squints at the passing rider. The rider's eyes are shut. A wooden stake pokes up the back of his poncho, propping him up, the top of it carved like a noose. Adios amigo is scrawled on a piece of paper pinned to his back. The stranger looks on as the dead man is carried away on the horse. He touches the brim of his hat respectfully. He rides on to San Miguel. An impish man in white runs up.
Welcome to you, stranger. My name is Juan de Dios. I am the Bellringer. Why are you here? To see the Rojos? No, not the Rojos. Is it the Baxters, maybe? No, maybe not even the Baxters. You want to get rich, eh? Well, for that you have come to the right place. If you use your head. That's because everybody here has become very rich, or else they are dead. What do you want to buy? Some guns? Liquor. You don't buy, you sell. You sell lead in exchange for gold.
You will get rich here, or you'll be killed. Juan de Dios tolls the bell once again.
The stranger rides through San Miguel, passing its wooden slatted buildings. Women stare out through gaps in doors and curtains to glimpse the foreigner with his stubbled chin, steely blue eyes, and impassive sun-scorched face. He rides past a ranch house. Men sitting on a fence watch him pass.
Saludos, amigo. It's not smart to go wandering so far from home.
The ranchmen swagger up to his mule.
I reckon he picked the wrong trail.
Or he could have picked the wrong town.
His big mistake, I think, was getting born.
You want any work? Looking like that? You could try being a scarecrow.
Oh, no, the crows are liable to scare him, maybe.
They fire at the ground around the mule. The mule bolts off, the stranger clinging on. He manages to grab hold of an overhead post, unseating himself from the fleeing mule. As he dangles from the strut, he becomes aware of a kindly old face watching over the swing doors of a nearby saloon.
Hello? Saludos.
The stranger jumps down and the craggy-faced, grey-haired man comes out. Suddenly the bell ringer pops his head round a wall.
You can't get rich like that. At most you will only succeed in being killed.
The bartender goes back in. The stranger follows.
With all of the trouble we have, all we needed was you. What are you looking for?
Food and something to drink.
Water's over there.
No water.
Eating and drinking, killing, that's all you can do, just like the rest of your kind. That's all you can think of.
By the way, you'll have to mark this up.
I know. You have no money. After all, you just got into town. But if you don't mind doing a little killing, you will have no trouble finding someone eager to pay you.
The stranger, cheroot in mouth, uncovers the green baize of a gambling table.
My roulette wheel. That too was murdered. No one ever comes here to play. We spend our time here between funerals and burials.
Yeah, never saw a town as dead as this one.
The bartender, Silvanito, brings a tray of food. The stranger sits to eat.
You will never see another like it.
What's wrong with the place?
We've had too many killings. You have seen the women? None of them are women, they're widows. The place has only widows. Here you can only gain respect by killing other men, so nobody works anymore.
Seems somebody doesn't share your opinion.
Yes.
Silvanito opens up a shutter, revealing an old man with white whiskers hammering a coffin.
Saludos.
The wizened old man waves.
No, I think he better look you over to take your measurements. He's so experienced, he can do it with a glance. You'll be a customer. Don't laugh. I'm not joking. I want to warn you that those murderers will make a corpse out of you one day. That's why I want you to get out of here. You don't want to stay in this cemetery. Finish up and get out.
Unhurried, the stranger wipes his mouth.
I told you I can't pay you.
Be my guest. But get out of San Miguel, will you?
The stranger rises and approaches a decrepit staircase.
Where does that lead?
The balcony. Why are you going there? Hey.
Have a look. Things always look different from higher up.
But nothing's up there. Go ahead and get out.
The stranger steps onto the balcony overlooking the town square. At one end, men shift barrels. On the other side, men load crates into a wagon.
Who are they?
Bandits. Bandits and smugglers. They come down from Texas, across the frontier, to stock up on guns and liquor. The cost is much less here. Then they go back and sell the guns and liquor to the Indians.
Any town that sells guns and liquor, it's got to be a rich one.
Not the town. Only those who buy and sell, and the bosses are the ones who clean up.
Yeah, somebody has to run the place. Every town has a boss.
That's true, but when there are two around, then I'd say that there is one too many.
Two bosses. Very interesting.
Interesting is right. The Rojos boys, three brothers who sell liquor, and then there's the Baxters. Big gun merchants. If I'm not mistaken, you already met Baxter's gang, didn't you?
Yeah, we met.
But you're lucky they don't usually limit their fire to the mule. A man leaves his own land and looks around for any reason. Juan de Dios tolls the bell, and Piripero sells another coffee.
Two bosses.
The stranger stares down at the Baxter ranch house.
They've enlisted all the scum that hangs around both sides of the frontier. And they pay in dollars.
Thoughtfully, the stranger removes his cheroot.
Baxter's over there. Rojo's there. Me right in the middle.
Where are you the what?
Crazy bell ringer was right. Money to be made in a place like this.
If you're thinking what I suspect, I tell you, don't try it.
Which one of the two is the stronger?
Which one of them is stronger? Well, the Rojos, especially Ramon.
The stranger follows Silvanito's gaze towards the Rojo hacienda. Later, he's standing underneath the arched balcony of the Rojo's house. Cheroot smoldering between his lips, the stranger looks up.
Don Miguel Rojo, I want to talk to you. Don Miguel, I hear you're hiring on men. Well, I might just be available. I got to tell you before you hire me. I don't work cheap.
Craggy-faced Don Miguel Rojo comes onto his balcony to see the stranger swagger away. The stranger passes Piripero the Undertaker as he's planing one of his coffins. The stranger stops, blows a trail of smoke and smiles to himself. Piripero looks up.
Get three coffins ready.
Staring dead ahead, cheroot clamped firmly between his lips, the stranger walks casually towards the Baxter ranch house at the other end of the square. Silvanito looks after him, puzzled. The Baxter Ranch House men, who shot at the stranger's mule, look up. Don Miguel Rojo watches from his balcony as four men come forward to meet the stranger, cocksure smiles etched on their faces.
Adios, amigo. Listen, stranger, didn't you get the idea? We don't like to see bad boys like you in town. Go get your mule. You let him get away from you?
See, that's what I want to talk to you about. He's feeling real bad.
Huh?
My mule. You see, he got all riled up when you went and fired those shots at his feet.
The Baxter's men exchange glances.
Hey, you making some kind of joke?
No. You see, I understand you men were just playing around, but the mule, he just doesn't get it. Of course, if you were to all apologize...
As they laugh, the stranger looks down and throws his poncho up over his shoulder, revealing his holster. He raises his steely blue eyes to them.
I don't think it's nice, you laughing.
The men's smiles fade.
You see, my mule don't like people laughing. It's the crazy idea you're laughing at him. Now, if you apologize, like I know you're going to, I might convince him that you really didn't mean it.
Four hands hover nervously over four holsters as the Baxter men meet the stranger's unflinching gaze. Piripero and Silvanito watch tremulously. A ranchman spits, then reaches for his gun. Cobra quick, the stranger draws, fanning his pistol hammer with the flat of his hand. The Baxter men drop in the dust. The stranger coolly spins the gun on his finger, popping it back into the holster. Old Piripero smiles through his whiskers as a man strides from the Baxter ranch.
I saw the whole thing. You killed all four of them.
The man is smart, middle-aged.
You'll pay all right. You'll be strung up.
The stranger slowly draws his pistol.
Who are you?
Don't fire a shot.
He fumbles in his jacket.
I'm John Baxter. Sheriff.
And produces a badge.
Yeah. Well, if you're the sheriff, you better get these men on the ground.
The stranger pulls his poncho down from his shoulder, turns on his spurs, and strides off. John Baxter watches aghast. Passing Piripero, staring straight ahead, the lean stranger raises four fingers.
My mistake. Four coffins.
He strokes his chin and walks on. Later, from a window in the Rojo Hacienda, he's watching Piripero climb onto his cart.
Hey!
The cart heads off towards the Baxter's ranch, loaded with four coffins. The stranger turns to Don Miguel Rojo.
I told you I wasn't cheap, but I think you'll find it's worth your while.
27, 28, 29, 100. The rest we're all done.
When do I start?
I'm not in a hurry, at least for the moment.
I'd say with four less Baxters right now is as good a time to start as any.
In a few days, I hear there will be a troop of cavalry passing through San Miguel. And I wouldn't want the military sticking their long noses into our business.
You seem to be well informed.
In these parts, a man's life often depends on a mere scrap of information.
This thing couldn't have been very useful to its owner.
He fingers bullet holes on a suit of armor.
My brother Ramon did that. He often uses it for target practice. With a gun in his hand, no one stands in his way. The suit of armor is one of his favorite targets, naturally, when he does not have anything better to shoot.
Well, I'll be kind of curious to meet this brother of yours.
The door opens.
This is Chico, one of the most trusted of my men. Follow him. He will bring you to your room. I would like you to feel at home.
Well, I never found home that great. Let's go.
Chico is the bear of the man who earlier kicked the little boy. The stranger, carrying his saddlebag, follows Chico up the staircase and comes face to face with the raven-haired woman. She stops dead as their eyes meet, then, averting her gaze, pushes down past him. The stranger watches her go.
Who's that?
Her name's Marisol. You just forget about her.
Chico opens the door of a room.
This one will be your room.
The stranger steps into the dimly lit room, and Chico closes the door behind him. The stranger reopens the door to see Chico standing guard on the landing. Closing it, the stranger moves into the simply furnished room, throws his hat on a wooden bedknob and his saddlebag on the bed. He pulls a shirt from it. Hearing voices, he opens the balcony window and steps out. Downstairs, Don Miguel Rojo sits eating as his younger brother Esteban paces the floor.
Yes, we never paid out. Can you explain to me why you have taken him on? To have a filthy gringo around the house and to give him $100 besides?
We have never paid anybody so much.
You cannot leave someone like that to do what he wants around here. He's capable of doing anything. And I want law and order in this place.
If that is all you want, there is a much cheaper way. Just snuff him out.
And who will be the one? You?
Yes, why not? A shot in his back, and then you would have him out of the way in no time at all. Listen, I can do it easily right now. He won't be expecting it. I'd get back the 100.
Esteban toys with a knife. Don Miguel rises.
You're stupid, Esteban! Even if you are my brother. Bullet in the back, eh? And it is ended. And what happens if your hand should tremble slightly? And he's only been hurt. And with the cavalry arriving in town. And that Yankee so quick on the draw.
But I was only thinking...
You mustn't think of anything! You let me do the singing instead. Go and see the Americano. Just ask him if he needs anything, and make friends. Get one thing clear in that head of yours. This is going to be a quiet town until Ramon gets back. Is that clear? A quiet town.
A trail of cheroot smoke passes the window. The stranger is listening directly outside. He climbs the outside steps back up to his balcony. Inside, Esteban makes his way up to the stranger's room. He barges through the door, then stops in his tracks.
I'm Esteban Rojo. My brother asked me to...
He stares as the stranger swings his saddlebag over his shoulder and dons his hat.
What are you doing?
Moving.
But didn't you know all our men live here with us?
The stranger blows smoke in Esteban's face.
That's all very cozy, but I don't find you men all that appealing. Besides, your brother said he didn't have any need for me anymore right now.
He goes out. Esteban watches him leave, his lips twitching. A troop of Mexican cavalry pass by the Rojos Hacienda, snaking their way into San Miguel Square. Spearheading the procession of beige-uniformed riders is a battered stagecoach pulled by six horses. On the porch of the saloon, the stranger and Silvanito watch as the troop captain raises his hand.
Halt!
Sergeant!
Yes, Capitan.
The sergeant salutes.
Tell the men we'll be spending tonight here in this place. Arrange this so they can pick up the supplies here. Also, double the guard in order to watch the stagecoach there.
Yes, sir.
The stranger watches, interested.
Now, what do you suppose they're carrying in that coach?
It'd be easy to find out. Get up close to it and take a little look at what's in it. If they fire at you, you know it's gold.
Bad idea.
The stranger dons his hat and saunters to the coach, where a soldier stands guard by his horse. The stranger peers at the horse, then gently holds its nose and bends to take a look in its eye, lifting its eyelid with his thumb. The guard watches, intrigued. The stranger moves away. The guard continues looking and doesn't witness the stranger lift the cloth blind of the stagecoach window. The stranger peers in. A gun barrel targets his nose.
Looking for anything?
Tipping his hat.
Hello?
Get out of here, Yankee. Vamos.
The soldier withdraws back into the coach. Silvanito in long johns clambers from his bed and shuffles stiffly over to the stranger, who's lying wide awake, thoughtfully turning his cheroot in his mouth.
Why aren't you sleeping? When I see you staring like that, it bothers me.
Opening the shutters.
Still keep wondering what was in that stagecoach.
It's something they seem to think is very important. I asked a few questions of the captain and almost was arrested.
Who's Marisol?
You better get some sleep. You need it. It's much too dangerous even for you.
All I did is ask who she was.
She is a woman, and Ramon's madly in love with her. Does that make it clear to you?
Everybody in this town talks about Ramon. Kind of curious to meet him.
If you're smart, you'll try to stay clear of Ramon as long as possible.
Silvanito pours a jug of water into a basin and looks out of the window.
There are the soldiers. They're moving on very quietly.
The stagecoach passes by. The stranger, fully clothed, hops out of bed and puts on his gun belt.
Strange. They're headed for the frontier.
The stranger heads into the saloon, donning his Stetson and lighting his cheroot.
Tell me.
Silvanito watches.
Is that the way you go to bed every night?
Don't worry, I didn't dirty the sheets.
The stranger heads out.
Oh, no, wait. I'm coming too. I want to see for myself how you're going to get yourself in trouble. All right, go ahead.
Silvanito follows. Silvanito and the stranger gallop through the dusty landscape. Behind them, a backdrop of craggy hills rise up to blue skies, their sandy slopes burnt orange under the scorching sun. The riders pull up their horses and dismount by a track. They creep over it to a vantage point overlooking a river. Lying on their bellies, they survey the scene below. The Mexican cavalry and stagecoach wait on a sandy shoreline of the wide river, splashing through the water towards them, a troop of American cavalry with four covered wagons. The blue-uniformed soldiers position their wagons in front of the Mexican cavalry and their mysterious stagecoach. A grin brightens Salvanito's hangdog face.
It's like playing cowboys and Indians.
An American lieutenant rides up to the Mexican captain.
Captain, welcome, lieutenant.
A chest is laid on the ground.
There's your gold, as promised. I hope the guns you will be giving us will be equally useful to our army.
Rest assured, Captain, we'll check them over together.
The lieutenant turns his horse towards a wagon, then gestures a command. A wagon's cover is thrown back, revealing a mustachioed man in uniform with a machine gun. He sprays bullets into the Mexican troops. The stranger watches agape as horses collapse and soldiers fall. The gunner grins, swinging the gun left to right, peppering the Mexican camp. Panic reigns as frightened horses bolt and soldiers tumble into the dust. A soldier and horse crash to the ground. Soldiers guarding the stagecoach drop like puppets with their strings cut. The gunman's eyes blaze maniacally as he delivers the deadly volley. A horse crashes to the ground. The dismounted rider runs for his life but is shot in the back. A horse and rider try to escape over the ridge. Horse and rider roll down the bank. Two soldiers are spotted fleeing on foot. They collapse backwards down the ridge. Silvanito watches through tear-stained eyes. A last rider is picked off. The gunman scans the carnage with green, merciless eyes. He spies another escapee and teeth-gritted swings the gun. He grins as the last man falls. Letting go of the trigger, he jumps down from the wagon, triumphantly slaps a horse's rump, and removes the jacket of his American uniform. He approaches another wagon. Two dead Americans lie in the back. He tosses his jacket onto them.
Get their clothes on again. And hurry. Be sure to place them around right. Remember, they died fighting among themselves.
He whistles as he surveys the scene. Two of his men fetch the chest by the stagecoach. Mexican bodies lie strewn. Suddenly one of them stirs, scrambles to a nearby horse and mounts, galloping off into the river. The gunman bounds onto a wagon, shouting for an aide to throw him a rifle.
Rubio!
He takes aim. The Mexican falls.
There, it's Ramon.
Ramon throws the rifle back to henchman Rubio. Later, casually dressed in a white shirt, Ramon comes down from the hacienda balcony to meet with the stranger. Don Miguel introduces them.
This is my brother Ramon. I think I mentioned him.
Everybody talks about Ramon.
And many speak of you too. My dear brother included.
Well, I hope they say nice things. Did you have a good trip?
It was tiring. It was terribly hot on the road during the day. And stagecoaches are an uncomfortable way to travel.
Well, I'm sure you'll be in great shape in no time.
Oh, the Americano cannot wait to get into action. I'm sorry. He's going to be a disappointed man.
How's that?
The Baxters accepted the invitation. They'll come tonight, Don Miguel.
The Baxters coming here, you must be out of your head.
Chico followed my orders. I told him to invite them here.
Ramon, what is this?
I have found out many things when I was traveling, and I have decided that it's very stupid to just keep on shooting at each other, and without any results.
You've gone out of your mind, Ramon.
No, I've come to my senses, Esteban. Believe me. Trust.
He pats Esteban's cheek.
Life can be so precious. It's foolish to risk losing it every minute, no? There's plenty of space for everybody in this town. Even Baxter's. For this reason, I've decided to hang my gun up on the wall. I think that Ramon has the right idea. I too am getting tired of these killings. They must stop.
This is all very, very touching.
You mean you don't admire peace?
It's not really easy to like something you know nothing about.
Stay in San Miguel and you may just profit from the experience.
No, thanks. I'll be moving on.
The stranger moves off, pausing by Don Miguel.
Oh, here's your money, Don Miguel. I only use a small amount of it. I don't like to take money unless I feel I've earned it.
He makes to go.
Now, why are you so hasty? You should stay here. You might enjoy dining with us tonight.
You see, the Baxters have four men in the cemetery on account of me. I don't think they'd appreciate my presence.
He touches the brim of his hat, then heads to his waiting horse. Ramon rises, watching him darkly.
I don't like that Americano. He's too smart to be just a hired fighter. Shooting a pistol, no one can touch it. I can see that. When someone with that face works with his gun, you may count on two things. He's fast on the trigger, but he's also intelligent. That makes him too dangerous for you, I think, my brothers.
And now that he's gone, will you please explain to me that silly nonsense about hanging up your gun and making up with the Baxters?
Is it possible, old fellow?
that you'll never be able to reach any conclusions on your own. Don't you think that our government and the Americanos will find those bodies and then start an investigation? They'll investigate, all right. And we'll be quiet and peacefully bide our time. We know nothing about the massacre at Rio Bravo, huh? I arranged for the bodies to be lying here as if both companies killed each other.
But do you think they'll believe it, huh?
Oh, yes, I think so. Because if they don't find some guilty party, it would be a pretty good reason to call off the investigation.
Yes, but what about the Baxters?
The Baxters?
They want nothing more than to live in peace. We'll let them have their own way for a while.
So forget about the Baxters. We'll take care of them later. When the investigation finishes...
At the saloon, Silvanito laughs at the stranger.
That was a fine idea that you had. What was it again? Ah, yes. The Baxters on one side, the Rojos on the other, and you'd be in the middle. The only problem is that they've joined up. Now you're without a job, and you don't have any money to pay me what you owe me. And there is only one thing for you to do. Leave here immediately. I will forget about what you owe me. And you leave San Miguel and never come back for the rest of your days.
Hey, Joe, I prepared the wagon the way you asked me to. We're sitting out in the back here with two empty coffins.
What are you up to? Are you changing your profession? If you want to go on living, you'd better. In my opinion, you'll make a fine pallbearer.
The stranger pushes away his drink.
Close this place and come with me, huh?
Oh, close up, huh? It's done. Where are we going? I'd like to know where we are going, or is it a secret?
Down by the river. Have a look at some corpses down there.
He goes out. Dusk. In the heat of the night, the Baxters and their hired guns lounge about the front yard of their ranch house, one in a rocking chair, others leaning against the wall or sitting on the fence. Antonio Baxter comes out. He twists his hat nervously in his hands and looks out apprehensively towards the Rojo Hacienda. Its white facade is bathed in languid blue moonlight, warm orange lights glowing through its many shuttered windows. John Baxter follows his young son out. Consuelo Baxter, her dark hair covered by a black lace scarf, comes out and stands behind her son, following his gaze.
The Rojos, they come to dinner and we must go. But I don't like it at all. Even if they've granted all the guarantees we've demanded. We'll go along with it, but don't touch anything. You mustn't eat. You mustn't drink. You just keep your eyes open and keep your wits about you.
Headed by Consuelo, draped in her black finery, the Baxters and their gunslingers stride purposefully through the town square towards the Rojo property. Silvanito drives the undertaker's cart, loaded with two coffins, into the cemetery. The stranger follows on a horse.
Oh! Are you sure that nobody has seen us?
Only a ghost or two.
Oh, no. Don't joke about things like this. Ghosts are better left where they are. You look as though this place suits you very well. And if you go on like this, you will soon be here permanently.
Silvanito helps the stranger prop the two coffins up on the side of the cart. The stranger crowbars their lids off. Inside are two of the dead Mexican soldiers.
I do not understand. Why is it with all those bodies down by the river we are just burying these two?
We're not. We're not gonna bury him.
What do you mean we are not burying them?
That's right. We're not gonna bury him.
If we are not going to bury them, I would like to know what we will use them for. Why are we taking the trouble to do this?
The dead can be very useful sometimes.
The stranger shoulders the bodies.
He's helped me out of tough spots more than once.
And leans them against a gravestone.
First, they don't talk. Second, you're made to look alive if I manage it right.
He adjusts the corpses.
And third... Well, third, if you shoot them, there's no worry, because they're dead already. Understand?
It doesn't make a bit of sense to me, and I'm getting out.
I'm alive and I want to remain with the living, understand? And when I'm dead, I'll want to remain with the dead, and I would be unhappy if somebody living forces me to remain with the living. I hope that's clear.
Solvenito gets on the cart.
Also, I don't like the idea that you've placed those bodies there. The man who's buried in that grave is the only one who ever died of pneumonia in this cursed town.
Take it easy now, will you? These two friends of ours here are going to help me pay your bill.
Get up there!
With a crack of the reins, silver-haired Silvanito is off. The stranger puffs on his cheroot, puts on his hat, and walks back to his mule, leaving the bodies propped against the gravestone like a couple of ghostly bookends, arms over their chests, guns tucked neatly into their hands. The stranger mounts, looks down at the bodies, then kicks his horse off into the night. In the Baxter's ranch house, John lights a couple of lamps. He addresses Consuelo, his wife.
The only reason they could have to start a war with us would be to kidnap you from your husband's side. He's gallant, this Rojo. I really didn't think him capable of compliments.
Then he's not. All that he says is false, like his proposals.
You women. If things aren't complicated for you, you become suspicious.
Yes. Because to me, it just didn't seem right. It went too smoothly. I don't trust them.
You'd like to prove me wrong, wouldn't you? Always the same thing.
He pours himself a drink.
Good night.
Good night.
Consuelo hitches up her skirt and climbs the staircase. John downs his drink, then pours another. Consuelo enters her elegantly furnished boudoir, grabs up her nightdress from the bed, and stands before a full-length mirror, hands at her back, unfastening her dress. She slides herself out of the top of her dress and moves to turn up the lamp. As she reaches for it, a hand grabs her wrist, another is clapped tightly over her mouth. She stares wide-eyed at the stranger.
Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you. Just want you to know why the Rojos want to make peace all of a sudden.
He removes his hand.
You see, there was once a wagon load of gold that the soldiers were taking to the border.
Downstairs, waistcoated John marches over to a bureau and opens up a drawer.
John, come up here quickly.
He bounds up the stairs and into Consuelo's room. The stranger swiftly grabs the gun from John's holster and swings it on his finger.
Sorry. When a husband finds a man in his wife's bedroom, you're never sure how he's going to react.
John stares at his half-dressed wife.
Give him $500.
How's that?
Give the money to him. He has an interesting story. Listen to him.
At the Rojos.
That's the right idea. You didn't misunderstand.
I get the wrong idea only when it's...
Ramon, what is it? These soldiers, the ones who were escorting the gold.
Two of those soldiers got away. They're hiding out in the cemetery. The Baxters, they're about to capture them.
Ramon shouts up to the balcony.
Hey! Rubio, get the men.
Rubio tosses Ramon his rifle.
You are well informed.
Man's life in these parts often depends on a mere scrap of information. Your brother's own words.
Tell me, why are you doing this for us?
The stranger lights his cheroot, considers, then holds out his hand to Ramon.
$500?
The Baxter clan gallop over the dusty plain towards the cemetery led by John and San Antonio.
These two soldiers as witnesses against Ramon. The government will be able to rid the town of the Rojos and the whole band.
The San Miguel will have just one boss.
Hurry!
They spur the horses on, racing like the wind over the plain. Meanwhile, outside the hacienda, Ramon and his cohorts are mounting their horses. Ramon holds his rifle aloft.
Let's go!
Esteban walks to the stranger, who's counting his wad of money.
Coming with us?
No, no. The man's got money in his pocket. He begins to appreciate peace.
Come on!
The Rojos set off on their impatient steeds. They gallop away. Thoughtfully, the stranger watches them go, stroking at his stubble. The stranger steers his horse to stand against a wall of the hacienda, then stands up on its back. He grabs hold of the wall top and hauls himself onto it. He swings his legs over the other side and gently lowers himself down onto the ground within the hacienda compound. He moves stealthily through a small courtyard and peers round a wall. He spies Chico in a larger courtyard patrolling an arched entrance in the stone wall of a storehouse. Chico moves to and fro past the large wooden doorway. Suspended above the doorway is a heavy wooden awning. In the inky blue half-light on the rocky plain, Baxter's company of riders near the cemetery.
Let's leave the horses here.
They dismount behind some rocks. The stranger waits for the pacing Chico to turn his back, creeps behind a pillar, then shoots the ground at Chico's feet, forcing him under the awning. The stranger ducks back. Fires again. Cornered, Chico fires. The sharp-eyed stranger targets the rope suspending the awning, snapping one.
Who's there? Come out!
Then the other. The awning falls, smacking Chico on the head. The stranger smiles as the brute drops unconscious. The stranger wanders over to the bandit, gives his gun arm a kick, then clambers through the wooden entrance. At the cemetery, their guns at the ready, Antonio and John Baxter peer over a wall at the two dead Mexican soldiers guarding the gravestones.
What do you think?
I don't know. There's something about it I don't like. Too still to be wounded. They're more like dummies.
Sure, dummies are very interesting to the Rojos. Better hide. Hurry!
They duck behind a gravestone as the Rojo posse near the cemetery. Ramon and his brothers dismount, taking up positions in the rocks overlooking the cemetery. Ramon, keen-eyed, cocks his rifle. With a nod, he gestures for Esteban and the others to follow him. At the hacienda, the stranger is in a passageway with a large wooden door leading off from it. He goes up to the door, slides back its bolt, and opens it. He peers through the doorway into the dim storehouse. He goes inside, closing the door behind him. Various sized barrels lie stacked about the room. Even more barrels are stored on a wooden mezzanine floor above. He steps onto a large wooden ramp rising at an angle up to the mezzanine floor. He looks up at the huge barrels stored above him. He steps from the ramp and grabs the gun from his holster and wanders through the storehouse, tapping at the barrels with the butt end of his gun. At the cemetery, Ramon, behind a boulder, cocks his rifle and squints into the sights, targeting Antonio as he looks out from behind a gravestone. The bullet hits the gravestone. Antonio runs out firing, then dives for cover. Esteban opens fire. A Baxter man falls, shot by Ramon. John Baxter retaliates, his bullet glancing off a boulder. Ramon ducks, then chewing his lip with a look of grim determination, reloads. The stranger crouches by another barrel and taps it. Then thoughtful, his eyes scan the storehouse. Meanwhile, Ramon stares down at the two corpses, brow furrowed. Antonio Baxter joins his father behind a rock.
What'll we do?
Take two men and circle around to the side. Try to keep them busy long enough for me to get those two down there. Go on. Go on. Quickly.
John fires, starting another shootout. Ramon, targeting a Baxter man, shoots in lightning-quick succession. Until the man clutches his chest and falls. The stranger tries another barrel. And another. The gunfight rages on, the stranger taps. Ramon moves forward to Esteban and Rubio.
Give me cover. I'm going to take care of those two.
Ramon reloads his rifle as Rubio moves to another position. Ramon then dashes from behind the rock. John shoots. The opposing factions trade shots. Ramon runs up into a stone bank and jumps over a broken down fence. Bullets ricochet off the boulders around him. Ramon leaps down into the cemetery and belly on the grass shoots one of the bodies. He rolls sideways and shoots again. The body topples.
Ethan Baxter! You can have them now if you like! These dead men can't talk!
Under fire, Ramon hurries back to Esteban and Don Miguel behind the rocks.
It seems they didn't like my joke. We'll let them go home in a little while.
The stranger paces through the storehouse. He slides his pistol back into its holster and leans back on a barrel top. A sack of grain falls forward as the lid pops up. The stranger picks up the sack, throws it down, and delves inside the barrel, pulling out a bag of money. He brings out another, and smiling to himself, knocks the bags together. Hearing footsteps, he puts down the money and hides in an alcove behind the door. The door opens, and a hand appears holding a lantern. He grabs the wrist and delivers its owner an almighty punch to the face. Dazed, Marisol slides down the wall to the floor. The stranger stares aghast, then raises his eyes. Ramon and the victorious Rojo tribe thunder back over the plain. The stranger carries the unconscious Marisol out through the arched stone entrance and lays her beside a water trough in the courtyard. He dips his neckerchief into the water and gently bathes her brow. Alerted, he throws the wet neckerchief over his shoulder, picks up Marisol and hides behind a wall. The Rojos canter into the courtyard. Captured, Antonio Baxter sits behind one of the riders. Ramon dismounts and addresses Rubio, throwing his rifle to him.
We will keep this bad boy as our guest only until Baxter leaves San Miguel and heads for the frontier. Put him in the cellar.
The stranger heads off into the shadows, Marisol still in his arms.
Esteban, good work.
With Antonio as our prisoner, the Baxters are going to have to give it to us. Now we can make any kind of demand.
Don Miguel!
Chico, his head bleeding, is carried to Don Miguel.
What has happened? Talk, will you?
I don't know, but somebody shot at me.
Marisol!
Ramon shouts from the balcony.
Marisol! Where are you, Marisol?
Marisol is laid on the bed in the boudoir of Consuelo Baxter's. Consuelo touches Marisol's face, then looks over at the stranger.
Strange. How you always manage to be in the right place at the right time.
He strokes his chin thoughtfully. Consuelo goes over to him. They look at the unconscious Marisol on the bed.
It's nothing serious. A headache that will pass. Just sleep.
Consuelo goes out to the hall, addressing one of the hired guns standing guard.
Keep your eyes open. She's not to move from that room, you hear?
The stranger follows Consuelo down the wooden staircase.
I wouldn't mention anything about me bringing her here. I wouldn't want the Rojos to think I was on your side.
Don't be worried. I'm a woman who's rich enough to appreciate the men that my money can buy.
I've been to talk to the Rojos. They'll give back Antonio in exchange for Marisol. It'll take place in the morning.
Consuelo hands the stranger a fistful of dollars.
Very soon, you're going to be rich.
He flicks the wad of money.
Yeah, that's not going to break my heart.
He pockets the money, tips his hat at the Baxters, and heads out. The bell rings in the arch of San Miguel's cracked, flaking bell tower. Perched on top, a small wooden cross stands out against the bright blue sky. Esteban Rojo, leaning against the hacienda wall, winks at Don Miguel as Antonio, flanked by Ramon and Rubio, rides into the deserted town square. The air is thick with leaves and dust, gusts of wind whipping up debris from the parched ground. The stranger emerges from the saloon. He sits astride a chair on the porch, bottle in hand, watching. Esteban, a sly smile on his tanned, weathered face, wanders out from the hacienda, accompanied by a posse of mean desperados. They wear sombreros and cartridge belts crossed over their chests. They look out towards the Baxter ranch house. Marisol rides forward from the ranch, escorted by a couple of Baxter's men. The stranger swigs his drink. Marisol, a scarf wrapped about her doleful face, looks over at the Rojos. Esteban eyes her with a lascivious smile. Antonio Baxter looks over to his parents, his brow furrowed. He shoots a sideways look to cruggy-faced Don Miguel. Ramon cocks his rifle. A smile twitching on his lips, Ramon studies Marisol. She returns his stare. Behind the stranger, the little boy runs up to the swing doors of the saloon and pushes them open.
Where is she? You said I'd be able to see her. Where is she? I want to see her.
Come back here, Jesus. Come here.
Where is she?
His father grabs him.
I want to see her. I want to see her. Why can't I look at her? I want to see her.
The stranger looks over the door as the wretched little boy and his father cling on to each other, sobbing. Outside, the standoff continues. Marisol and the Baxters at one end, Antonio and the Rojos at the other. Ramon's eyes fixed on Marisol.
Go. Go to him, Marisol.
Antonio heads off on his horse. Marisol kicks hers on. The stranger swigs his drink as Silvanito comes out of the saloon with the boy. The boy's eyes widen when he sees his mother on horseback.
Mama!
Astonishment passes over Marisol's face when she sees her son.
Mama!
Jesus!
She looks at Ramon agape, unable to continue. Ramon stares darkly. She clambers from her horse and runs for her son. Jesus breaks free in front of the opposing gunslingers and runs into his mother's arms. The boy's father watches sadly. The stranger watches mother and son embrace, a flicker of compassion in his eyes. Antonio continues his progression through the town towards his family. Ramon eyes Marisol, his eye twitching as she showers her son with kisses. Antonio reaches the Baxter ranch and dismounts. Smiling, he goes to Consuelo and embraces her. She looks sadly over his shoulder. She pulls away, and her face hardens, and she slaps him. Jesus' father rushes over to mother and son. Marisol looks up at him.
Julio!
Marisol!
Get Julio!
Silvanito hurries inside the saloon as the mean-faced Rubio gallops towards the family, kneeling in the dust.
You were warned to get out of town. Now I'm gonna make you pay, once and
no.
for all.
Rubio's hand twitches at his holster.
Let him be!
Silvanito comes out with a rifle, targeting Rubio. Don Miguel, Esteban and Ramon all look over at the old man. The stranger, leaning on a wall beside Silvanito, straightens and lays a hand on his gun. The stranger fixes Rubio with his steely blue eyes. Rubio's hand hovers at his belt, then, eyes locked with the stranger, he raises his hand and tucks it into his shirt. The stranger looks at Marisol, tears coursing down her pale cheeks. She meets his gaze with pleading eyes. Ramon moves forward on his horse. Marisol hugs her son fearfully. The stranger's eyes flick to Ramon.
You better get going. Ramon's waiting.
The stranger's face hardens.
And you, get that kid home where he belongs.
Marisol rises, staring up at the stranger, a look of contempt filling her eyes. Ramon shoots a look towards the stranger before turning his steed back to the hacienda. Julio, his child in his arms, turns sadly away and walks off. Rubio extends his hand down to Marisol, but she bows her head, refusing it, and walks off towards the Rojo Hacienda. The stranger, cheroot in mouth, watches as she walks stoically up to Ramon's horse. Silvanito hurries inside the saloon, followed by the stranger. Silvanito pours himself a shot of liquor as the stranger leans on the bar.
A pig that Ramon...
Tell me, what's Ramon got to do with them, huh?
You weren't told, eh? In this part of the world, the story's very old. A happy little family until trouble comes along. And the trouble has the name of Ramon, claiming the husband cheated at cards, which wasn't true. He gets the wife to live with him as hostage.
And the
husband?
Oh, him. There's nothing for him to do. The Rojos threatened to kill his little boy, Jesus, and he was forced to accept things.
The stranger removes his cheroot.
That Ramon is smart.
And walks off.
Where are you going?
The stranger at the swing doors bites back on his cheroot.
The Rojos to look for a job.
Then heads out. Silvanito spits after him.
Do.
A feast at the Hacienda.
I'm glad we have the Americano with us. The best thing that could have happened to us, you know. Because if either government starts an inquiry, we need every man we can get.
He bites on a pork joint.
I guess you know. To be at war with the Baxters now is worse than sitting on a big case of dynamite.
Where should we put this?
Put it over there.
Servants position the suit of armor in front of the feasting table. Laughing, Esteban lobs his pork joint at one of the revelers.
Come on, everybody, drink up!
The stranger fires at the armor, knocking off the hip plate. He moves to inspect the damage, pausing to swig his drink. At the top of a staircase, Ramon takes aim. Ramon pumps bullets into the armor. Holes appear in the repaired breastplate, forming a precise heart shape. Ramon, his rugged face glistening with sweat, grins inanely as his final, carefully aimed bullet completes the heart.
Good shooting. Very good shooting.
When you want to kill a man, you must shoot for his heart, and the Winchester is the best weapon.
That's very nice, but I'll stick with my .45.
When a man with a .45 meets a man with a rifle, the man with a pistol will be a dead man. That's an old Mexican proverb. And it's true.
You believe that?
The stranger looks at Marisol.
Paquito, take 5 men and escort Marisol to the small house. And stay there until I return.
Ramon, one eye on the stranger, grabs Marisol's chin, forcing a kiss onto her lips. The stranger observes.
Everything is prepared.
Do not be worried. I will return tomorrow.
All the wagons are ready. We can leave.
Everyone! Enjoy yourselves during my absence.
Ramon heads off, Rubio following. The stranger watches them go, a cunning smile on his face. He moves to the table of boisterous revelers. Grinning at them, he grabs a drink.
You heard Ramon? Let's have a good time.
The stranger knocks back his liquor. Later, he's slumped in a stupor over Chico's back as the big man carries him up to his room.
The one with her lover, I, Betsy.
Chico throws him onto the bed.
He weighs over a ton. Of course, it only poured into himself.
Chico leaves. The stranger, unconscious on the bed, suddenly opens his eyes. He stares up at the moonlit window and props himself up. He rolls off the bed and rises, gingerly touching the back of his head. He moves to the basin and douses his face with water. He braces himself against a wall, coming to, rubbing at his neck, then goes to the window and opens it. The stranger rides his horse down a scree track, dissecting a massive rock face, dirt whipping up from the horse's hooves and curling into the bluish half-light of the night like smoke. Rider and horse gallop over a vast plain of rubble and grit. He jabs the horse's flanks with his spurs, urging the beast ever faster, a pall of dust clouding the air in its wake. Julio and his son are in the tumble-down dwelling opposite Ramon's small house on the edge of San Miguel. Finishing their modest supper of tomatoes and bread, Julio clears away the plates. Jesus is at the door, staring out to the Rojo bolt hole.
Papa! Did you not tell me no one could go see Mama?
That's right.
And why does that man see her when I cannot?
The stranger is at the wooden door to Ramon's small house.
I want Mama.
Go away from the door.
I want
Julio
Mama.
Closes up the doors.
We cannot show ourselves. You must remember that. You must stay away.
The stranger listens outside the door of the small house. Coolly, he lights his cheroot. Suddenly, he kicks the door open, pistol at the ready.
Hello?
5 men look up. One attempts to draw. The stranger fans his pistol, pumping the men full of bullets. The stranger walks towards the scattered bodies. One of the men stirs. The stranger shoots him again. Esteban and Don Miguel run out onto the hacienda balcony.
There's somebody shooting up at this small house.
Saddle the horses immediately. Come on, let's go.
The Rojo brothers and henchmen hurry off. The stranger pushes a body off the table, grabs up a knife, and slices through ropes supporting huge shelves of kindling bales, which tumble over the floor. One of the men on the floor moves. The stranger swipes bowls off a shelf. The man sits up, and Marisol arrives to see him raise his pistol. The stranger hurls the knife. It embeds itself into the man's chest. He staggers and falls. The stranger stares contritely at the wide-eyed Marisol, then runs to her, grabs her arm, and pulls her into the room. Throwing down his cheroot, he finishes trashing the room, pulling over a cabinet full of pots. Meanwhile, the Rojo posse charge over the dirt plain towards the small house. The stranger drags Marisol over to Julio's dwelling opposite. He kicks open the door and goes in. The Rojos gallop on. The stranger brings out the slumbering Jesus and hands him to Marisol.
Here you are. Now take this money. It's enough to live on for a while. Now get across the border. Much distance between yourselves and San Miguel as possible.
How may we thank you for what you are doing?
Don't try. Just get going before the Rojos get here.
He pushes the couple off, but they turn back to look at him.
Why do you do this for us?
Why? I knew someone like you once. There was no one there to help. Now get moving.
Marisol stares questioningly.
Get moving. Get out of here.
Marisol, cradling her boy, heads off with Julio over the plain. She turns for one last look at the stranger. He watches as the family disappears into the night. He shuts the door of the small dwelling, then hurries to the rear of the house. The arriving Rojo tribe gallop onto the track between the buildings. The stranger peers over a broken down wall as the posse wait for Chico to search Ramon's small house.
What do you see, Chico?
They're all dead. They massacred them.
They kidnapped Marisol.
This looks like the work of the Baxters.
Quick, let's get back before they attack our house in the town.
Unseen, the stranger creeps out of the yard and tiptoes over to his horse. Silently, he mounts and gallops for San Miguel. The Rojo troop race for home. They steer their horses along a track which snakes its way through the valley pass. The stranger, choosing a different route, tears over the hillside above them, just a whisker ahead as they appear below on their path as it arcs around the hill. He careers down a rocky slope. At the bottom, he pulls up the horse and, changing direction, canters off behind a crevasse just as the Rojos gallop by. He charges from his hiding place. Further along, the Rojos career past another of his hiding places in the rocks. The stranger emerges again, cutting across the path, heading for another rocky shortcut in the hillside. The Rojo clan gallop by the side of a sheer cliff, driving one another on at breakneck pace, as if they were racing one another. The stranger swerves out from another rock, this time ahead of the Rojo pack. He disappears out of sight as they career round a bend just behind and gallop along the same route, unaware that they're tailing him home. The clan arrive in the courtyard by the hacienda's stone archway. Don Miguel dismounts, barking orders.
Chico, give out the ammunition.
Esteban, spread your men around the house. Keep your eyes open.
Miguel, Paco, Vicente, Martín, behind the house.
Manolo and Alvaro, come with me.
Stay alert. The way they killed the men in the small house, there must be a lot of them.
Eavesdropping from his balcony, the stranger steps into his room. Rubio points a rifle at him.
It's a warm evening.
Ramon stretched out on the bed, eyes closed.
One of our wagons lost a wheel, so we had to turn back here to get help. One of the men tells me the Baxters attacked the small house. Do you know about it?
Ramon turns his eyes to the stranger.
Tell me what you know.
Esteban laughs as the stranger, his face already gashed and dripping blood, is picked up off the ramp in the storehouse by one of Ramon's henchmen and beaten. The stranger tumbles down the ramp. At the bottom, Ramon grabs his bloodied shirt and leans over him.
Well, where did you hide, my son?
Ramon wipes the stranger's blood from his hand.
Rubio.
Rubio hauls up the almost unconscious stranger and delivers a straight right to his jaw. He collapses. Rubio grabs him and deals another. He falls backwards over a table. Esteban sits up, draws on his cheroot, then stubs the end of it on the stranger's hand. He weakly pulls his hand away. Esteban then pours a jug of water over the stranger's bloodied head.
You are thirsty? You want to drink?
No, it is too soon to drink.
The stranger throws Esteban off. Chico punches and grabs him.
Bring him over here!
Esteban thumps him. He flails on all fours. Esteban kicks him. He doubles up. Clutching his stomach, his hair matted with sweat, eyes scarred and swollen, he squirms to his knees and, finding the table with his hand, pushes himself up onto his feet. Suddenly he wheels round and punches Chico, who retaliates. The stranger falls onto the table.
You are behaving like a
stubborn idiot. Tell us where Marisol is and it will all be ended.
In a week you'll be back in shape, you'll get out and you can go wherever you want.
Chico shoves the stranger off the table. Rubio and Chico close in for another kicking. Ramon puts his foot on the sprawling stranger.
That's enough for today. Sooner or later he'll talk. It's just a matter of time. Watch out he doesn't escape or die, otherwise do as you like.
Smiling, Chico stamps on the stranger's hand.
But wait till he comes to. This way he hardly feels anything.
Chico grinds his boot into the stranger's burnt hand. Chico then follows Ramon and his brothers out. The stranger inches himself onto his back, swollen eyes blinking in pain under the harsh light from the lamp overhead. Runnels of blood leak from the gaping sores over his face as he tries to lift his head off the floor, but gives up, laying it down weakly. Later, Chico and a servant are outside the storehouse door.
I have had a poker hand waiting for me for 3 days. Now I am stuck here. I can't get back to it while I'm guarding this Americano idiot.
I think you will find this more amusing than cards. All orders are to be sure he does not die. I'll also make sure he regrets the day he was born.
Chico and the servant go in.
The gringo's asleep, I imagine. That's all right. I'll enjoy waking him up.
A huge barrel rolls down the ramp towards them. It careers into the men, exploding splintered wood and alcohol about the storehouse. The stranger, hunched up on the mezzanine, lifts his head, squinting through his left eye, his right eye swollen and closed. Shaking, he hauls himself up onto the ramp and rolls down it, wincing in pain. Dragging himself by his elbows to get a look at the damage, he sees Chico and the servant huddled in a soggy, blood-spattered heap, barrel slats strewn all over them. He pulls himself further down the ramp and out of the storehouse door onto the wet flagstones of the corridor. He props his leaden frame up against the doorway.
Esteban, what was that noise? I do not know. Heard a yell and then a crash.
With a look of sheer determination, he pulls himself along the floor and around a corner, slumping exhausted against a wall. Ramon and his cronies arrive outside the store. The stranger listens as Ramon opens the door and peers in. Taken aback by the sight that meets him, Ramon cocks his Winchester. Then cautiously steps in, kicking the barrel carcass from his path. He goes further in, wielding his rifle.
It's useless to hide.
He peers into the shadows.
They'll finish playing the smart boy.
The stranger slides from his hiding place.
Go up and look in the loft.
And crawls along to the door.
And take a look behind the barrel.
He fumbles for a match, strikes it on the wall, and throws it into the store. Ramon shoots into the flames, leaping before him. Ramon looks about.
Let's get out of here!
Ramon, Esteban, and Rubio hurry out of a back entrance. Outside, servants fetching water fight through the smoke as Ramon hurries from the store.
Hurry! Hark! Hurry with the hammer! Come on! Hey, you! Come on with me!
Esteban and Rubio chase after Ramon. In the town square, the stranger crawls under the porch of a nearby house, just as Ramon bursts out from the hacienda gates.
Around the town! Lock all the streets leading up! Find him for me!
Ramon jumps onto the porch.
Esteban!
Yes!
First don't stop!
Follow me!
Get him back right now! You've got too many cost! Look in the stables! In every corral! In the store! Look for him in the church! Go in there! Search every inch of it! Search everywhere! Rubio, in here! If somebody is hiding him, burn the house down and kill him like dogs! You, come here! Look for him near the Baxters, but take him alive! I want him alive! Alive! Rubio! In the bar!
Ramon hurries away with Rubio. The stranger shifts on his belly through the dirt and out from under the porch. He hauls himself between broken slats of an adjacent barn and crawls through the straw, his face caked in grey dust. He looks up as he hears Ramon and Silvanito in the saloon.
He says he knows nothing. He's trying to be smart. Bring him here to me.
The stranger crawls on.
But I swear I'm telling the truth.
Where?
You know not, eh? Oh, nothing. I have not seen him.
Rubio, you take care of him.
No.
Bracing himself against wooden planks, the stranger drags himself upright and cranes to look through a window into the saloon. A wooden shutter obscures his view. He pushes it open and sees Rubio delivering Silvanito a punishing straight right. Ramon slams Silvanito against the bar, pressing his rifle barrel into the old man's throat.
Where have you hidden him?
Ramon removes his rifle and Silvanito sinks to the floor.
You're the right friend for that filthy Americano. You'll end up the same way.
A man rushes downstairs.
He looked everywhere. In a cellar. In the attic, on the roof. But there is no trace.
I couldn't find anybody there in the back room.
I'm certain he has taken refuge with the Baxters. The Americano isn't stupid. He knows that that's the best place for him to hide. The Baxters, eh? Then better go and get him.
Ramon eyes Silvanito, then slams his rifle into the old man's belly.
And that's for being his friend.
Ramon turns on his heel. Esteban lets go of the old man's collar and follows. Silvanito drops. Silvanito lies unconscious as the Rojos head out. The stranger, his battered face half-shadowed, stares sadly in at the old man. Piripero and the bell ringer, alerted by the rumpus, run into San Miguel Square. Piripero heads for his workyard. He opens the gate of the yard, lets himself in, then peers over the fence as Rojo people race past.
Curse them.
He walks past the coffins stacked about the yard and up to his hut. He hears a noise.
Hey.
Piripero turns round. He looks about the yard. The old boy moves past his cart laden with the coffin. He walks past the cart, scanning the workyard.
Come here. Can't see anybody. Come here. Dios mío.
The lid of the coffin on the cart rises. A finger beckons, and the lid closes again. Piripero lifts up the lid.
What are you doing in there?
The stranger peers back.
Come on, get me out of here.
But you're not dead yet.
Will be if you don't get me out of here quick. Get that lid down.
The old boy replaces the lid and pats the coffin. Ramon, outside the Baxter's ranch house, ignites the end of a fuse wire with a cheroot. He drops the wire on the ground, then cocks his rifle. A flame crackles furiously along the wire towards the ranch house fence. Sweat glistens on Ramon's soot-flecked brow, a self-satisfied smile playing on his lips as he watches. Don Miguel and Esteban follow the fuse impassively with their eyes. The flame nears the fence. The fence is blasted away in a deluge of dust and sparks. The smoke clears, revealing the Baxters' exposed ranch house. Ramon signals. Two covered wagons hurtle forward, turning sharply their backs face the ranch house. Backing up, the wagon's rear doors fly open and a clutch of barrels roll out from them. The barrels roll onto the front yard, one through the front door. Rojo men hack at them with axes. The split barrels pour out their contents. The Rojo men rush out from the yard.
Rubio!
Ramon hands Rubio his rifle, then picks up a lantern and tosses it into the yard. The barrels burst into flames. A fireball erupts in the yard. Don Miguel stares at the flames, the skin under his right eye twitching. The barrel in the ranch house explodes. The flames reflect on Ramon's staring face.
I see some signs of life. Let's be ready when they decide to come out.
A figure staggers from the Baxter house.
Don't shoot! We surrender! Don't shoot!
Ramon fires.
Stop! Don't shoot! We're coming out!
More men scramble from the smoking building, their hands up.
I'm surrendering! Hold back your fire!
Don't shoot! We're surrendering!
Rubio fires. A Baxter man falls. Ramon and the others shoot. As each Baxter man runs out from the inferno, the grinning Rojo men shoot him down. Unnoticed, Piripero swings his cart into the town square and steers it towards the blazing Baxter ranch house, the coffin perched at its rear. The stranger raises the coffin lid and peers out at the smoking ranch house.
Stop. I want to take a look at this.
He stares as Ramon and his men, grouped together opposite the ranch house, shoot indiscriminately, slaughtering the fleeing Baxters. Ramon flashes a grin as he pumps his trigger. Ramon targets a choking man in the sights of his Winchester. The man rolls over one of the barrels. The attackers grin, enjoying their target practice. As Baxter men appear in the smoke like ghosts, Don Miguel laughs. As they run from the inferno, Baxter men desperately take up arms, but are picked off by their laughing foes. One man runs the gauntlet of confusion and chaos, then hides behind a shutter. Ramon, picking him off, chuckles like a boy. As the slaughter continues, the Rojo's mood heightens. Eyes blaze, sweating faces grow more manic with each shot, intoxicated by the orgy of killing. They flash wide toothy grins as more victims flail in the ash. The stranger continues to watch from the coffin. A Baxter man rushes out, his body ablaze. He falls and dies, flames still leaping from his back. Above, a man backs onto a balcony. Ramon shoots. The man falls through the railing, dropping onto the charred yard. With no more targets, Ramon, his brothers, and hired hands move forward. They hear voices within the house.
Ramon! Don't shoot! We're coming out!
John and Antonio rush out.
We surrender! Listen, you bond! It's enough! I'll get out of town! I'll do whatever you like!
You promise that?
I swear it, Ramon!
You won't try a trick of any kind?
None! No, no tricks! I said before, I give you my word! We'll leave!
Are you sure? You had better ask permission of your wife. Maybe she won't be too happy.
Ramon fires. Antonio and John clutch their chests and drop. Ramon looks on darkly.
Antonio! John!
Consuelo Baxter stumbles out. Seeing the two bodies, she sinks to her knees in anguish. Distraught, Consuelo bends over her son, then lifts her face and stares with bitter contempt at the sea of merciless Rojo faces. Don Miguel, Esteban, Ramon.
Murderers! They have no gun! Murderers!
I hope you rot in hell! May you and your brother die spitting blood! Curse you for this! Murderers!
Esteban fires, Consuelo jerks and falls against a pillar. She clings to it, then slides down. Her hands go limp and she drops to the ground. Ramon furrows his brow, then gives a sideways look to his brother, as if cheated.
Let's go, the show's over anyway.
Piripero cracks the whip and the cart continues on its way.
Keep looking for him. Search among those bodies. The Americano had to be somewhere.
The stranger, his scars now healing a little, sits in a disused mine shaft, pointing his pistol close range at a sheet of metal. The bullet glances off the metal, leaving a dent. He aims again. The stranger leans forward with the gun, staring intently. The metal is pockmarked with dents. His hand shakes a little as he stares through the sights of his gun once more. The stranger leans forward on his elbows and strains to push himself onto his knees. He slides the gun into his belt and staggers to his feet. His shirt sleeves are torn, his left hand bound with a crude bandage. A cheroot protrudes from his split lip. He limps to the sheet of metal and slides his hand over it, sticking his fingers into the dents. Later, he hammers the metal with a mallet. Using his right hand, he brings the mallet hard onto the metal. Putting the tool down, he looks at his hand and flexes his fingers. Later, he cocks the hammer of his pistol with his thumb. He fans the catch with his bandaged hand, aiming at a fixed point on the metal, producing one large dent. Scars now almost healed, eyes blazing intently, he goes to look at the metal. He fingers the hole thoughtfully, then he fishes a match from his shirt pocket. He strikes it on the metal and lights his cheroot. By candlelight, he files down an edge on the metal. He looks up.
So, Benito?
A figure appears, silhouetted against shafts of light streaming through the entrance of the mine.
Where's Silvanito?
Piripero shuffles in and leans against a pit prop.
Any news today?
I have to tell you some news that's pretty bad. I hate to tell you this, Joe, but...
Where's Silvanito?
Silvanito? He was captured this morning by those men of Ramon's. They grabbed him outside the village. He was on his way to this mine. He was bringing in some provisions. Ramon's got him now. He's being tortured, but he won't talk. I know him well. He's a stubborn man. No matter what they do to him, he won't say a word, even if it means his life. Listen to me. They'll never be able to force him.
Ramon pulls on a rope, stringing the grimacing Silvanito up by his hands from a post outside the saloon.
Powerful.
Loosen up your tongue.
Silvanito shakes his head.
No.
Romeo!
In the mineshaft.
You better get back to your shop, old man. You're liable to have some business there.
Ah, very good. That's what I wanted to hear. And I have a little surprise for you that I brought along. I know how much you are going to need. It was very hard to get my hands on it, but I got it by first using my head. No one can resist 2 bottles of wine. Isn't that right? Well, I thought that, well, you might need that pistol. And I brought another present. It's dynamite. I stole it from the Rojos. And now it seems to me the moment's come for you to light the fuse and send it back to them.
The stranger eyes the dynamite. Ramon, Don Miguel, and Esteban watch the half-conscious Silvanito as he dangles helplessly. Ramon pulls on his cheroot, then takes it from his mouth and pushes it into the old man's.
There's lots of light.
Ramon removes the cheroot.
Too early to be asleep yet.
Turns it round and slides the burning end into Silvanito's mouth.
Rubio here.
Rubio throws the Winchester. Ramon slams it into the old man's belly.
I shouldn't like to ruin the rifle. I could never find another like this one.
Listen, Ramon, let's try it with this one now.
Esteban jumps down and swings back his whip. The men look up as a pillar of smoke erupts into the sky behind the gutted Baxter Ranch. Esteban stares at the ominous pall of thick grey smoke billowing through the air. Ramon, his brow pinched, squints into the drifting smoke cloaking the Baxter Ranch house. Silhouetted in the swirling white cloud, he can just make out the figure of a man walking towards him. The smoke curls away, revealing the stranger. He stands motionless, his poncho covering his arms and hands. Ramon allows himself a smile and looks over at Silvanito, dangling from the rope. Old Silvanito lifts up his weary eyes and, seeing the stranger in the distance, manages a weak smile. Ramon stares at his brother. Esteban turns tobacco in his mouth and chews on his lip, then casts his eyes to Don Miguel, who stares in fear and wonder at the sight of the stranger. The stranger's poncho flaps about his wiry frame as the strengthening wind fills the air with choking dust. Ramon, a determined look filling his eye, steps off the saloon porch. The stranger moves forward too. The men stop some distance apart. Ramon with his black scarred leather boots and harshly spiked spurs, and the stranger with brown pointed cowboy boots. Ramon faces the stranger, his brothers, Rubio, and hired hands assembled behind him. Ramon swings the Winchester around his finger, cocking the rifle. Piripero peeks out from behind his cart. Don Miguel, Rubio, and a Mexican gun hand fix the stranger with a challenging glare. Ramon smiles confidently, lifts his rifle, and takes aim.
Gringo!
Unperturbed, the stranger pulls at his poncho, then strolls to the left-hand side of the square.
Don't you want to see me?
The Americano's dead.
Ramon squints into the sights.
Cut the old man down.
Ramon fires. The stranger is blasted backwards into the dust, but the Rojo grins suddenly fade as the stranger lurches back onto his feet. Ramon's brow blisters with perspiration, his nostrils flaring, panic rising in his eyes as the stranger walks coolly forward.
What's wrong, Ramon? You losing your touch?
The stranger staggers, clutching his chest, but doesn't go down. Don Miguel turns incredulous eyes to Ramon.
You afraid, Ramon?
Piripero snickers.
Shoot to kill, you better hit the heart. Your own words, Ramon.
Sweat drips off Ramon. He takes aim again. He topples back into the dust. Rubio flashes Ramon a relieved glance, but Ramon's eyes glare fearfully as the stranger gets back onto his feet and wanders to the right-hand side of the square.
The heart, Ramon. Don't forget the heart.
He moves closer.
Aim for the heart or you'll never stop me.
Yeah! He slumps back into a stack of barrels. Ramon smiles, sure this time. The stranger pushes himself back onto his feet. Shaking, Ramon stares through the sights of the Winchester once more. He lowers the rifle as the stranger comes forward and throws his poncho over his shoulder, revealing a metal breastplate. Ramon stares stunned. The breastplate falls, 7 neat bullet scars at the heart. Ramon, Don Miguel and Rubio stare at the stranger, their taut, twitching faces barely able to disguise their astonishment and rising fear. Ramon lowers his rifle under the stranger's unremitting gaze. Ramon begins to raise it again. The stranger's hand hovers by his holster. Piripero looks away. Suddenly, Ramon and the others go to shoot. The stranger fans his pistol. Ramon's rifle flies out of his hand. Don Miguel, Rubio, and the gun hands fall around him. The stranger stares on dispassionately, gun poised. Piripero looks up. Ramon looks down at his men, then at the stranger, his shaking fingers wrapped around a bullet in his right hand. Silvanito, still hanging, watches the two men.
When a man with a .45 meets a man with a rifle, you said the man with the pistol is a dead man. Let's see if that's true.
Ramon stares transfixed, his face oozing sweat, as the stranger slowly turns his gun towards Silvanito. The rope snaps, Silvanito drops onto the dirt. Piripero hurries over to his dazed friend. The stranger, eyes locked on Ramon, unloads his pistol of a bullet, then throws the gun to the ground.
Go ahead, load up and shoot.
Ramon stands motionless, then casually goes to stand behind his rifle, which is still on the ground. His eyes are firmly fixed on the stranger. The stranger walks to his discarded pistol, clasping the bullet in his hand. Ramon coolly steps up to his rifle. Suddenly, both men grab their guns and load. The stranger's gun is poised before Ramon has a chance to raise his. Ramon freezes, his dark eyes boring into the stranger's blue eyes, their faces taut and snarling. Ramon moves first. Shot, Ramon rolls in the dirt. He thrashes about, then pushes himself up. Brow furrowed, he gives an incredulous look back at the stranger. Using a wall, he hauls himself to his feet and wheels round. The stranger's frame swings into view, then the piercing white light of the sun. Ramon drags his unsteady frame forward, dribbling blood. Buildings, sky and ground spin as he reels. He slumps over the wall and is still. The stranger walks towards Ramon. A gun barrel pokes through a frayed blind of a top floor window, targeting the stranger's back. The stranger stops, sensing something. Suddenly, Silvanito, holding aloft Ramon's rifle, opens fire. Esteban, face blooded, crashes through the balcony. His body smacks on the ground face up. He twitches slightly, then lies still. Silvanito lowers the rifle. The bow-legged Piripero moves forward.
Hey, listen, Joe. Listen, Joe. Joe.
The old boy goes to Ramon's slumped body and gets to work uncoiling his undertaker's tape. The stranger gives Silvanito a cursory glance as he walks wearily back into the saloon, the door swinging in his wake. The bellringer pulls on his rope. Putting on his Stetson, the stranger comes out of the saloon, a cheroot between his lips. He looks at Silvanito sitting on the porch.
Well, guess your government will be glad to see that gold back.
And you don't want to be here when they get it, eh?
You mean the Mexican government on one side? Maybe the Americans on the other side? Me right smack in the middle?
He lights a match on his boot.
Too dangerous. So long.
Adios.
Silvanito waves. The stranger wanders back to his mule. He unhooks his mule from Piripero's cart and clambers on as the undertaker busies himself measuring Don Miguel's body. Silvanito stands in the body-strewn town square and looks on stoically as the stranger rides lazily out of town. The End, released through United Artists. The audio description for this film was written and read by Jim Apted.